Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's no social distancing there. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. St. John doesn't include any kind of narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper on this night of nights, just this account of the Lord Jesus taking off his outer garment, wrapping a towel around his waist, and washing the road dust, sweat, and God knows what else from the feet of 12 men whom he was calling and sending out into the world to proclaim his death and resurrection, his repentance and forgiveness for all men. It would be nice to sanitize Jesus, to tame him, to squirt sanitizer on him and spiritualize him into a god like all the other gods, the distant pie in the sky spiritual gods of nearly every other religion. But the evangelist, who began his account of the gospel of Jesus, calling him the eternal word through whom all things were created, the word became not spirit but flesh, and who concludes his account of this gospel saying, "These things and not other things are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him you may have life in his name," includes this account that none of the other evangelist cohorts has. It would be nice to have a Jesus who is as spiritual as you hope. But then you've got this Jesus of tonight's gospel reading, with his hands that formed creation, scrubbing the grime from between the toes of 12 sinful men. And then it would be nice to spiritualize what he tells them and you to do. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Wouldn't it be nice if you could explain that away as Jesus simply telling you to pray for those with dirty feet, or sending thoughts and prayers to those ravaged by sickness, disease, or suffering? You need an exegete who can tell you that when Jesus says, "just as I have done to you," what he means is something like, put a bumper sticker on your Volvo and make sure your coworkers know that you have given up semi-sweet chocolates for Lent. You need a Calvin or a Zwingli or a Piper to say, "is" doesn't mean is, "do" doesn't mean do. You need someone who can spiritualize Jesus' concern for the cleanliness of his disciples' feet into something more like care for their souls. But then you've got this Lord with a towel around his waist arguing with Peter about whether he will descend to such a servile posture. It would be great if you could take the last bit of the gospel pericope and nuance it into something else. But then Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If only you could extract from that the real spiritual meaning that Jesus must have meant. That Jesus wants you to share his posts on Facebook so that others will know you are his disciples, or that all people will know you are disciples of the crucified King if you decorate your homes in Christ kitsch. But there is no spiritualizing. Love one another as I have loved you. When the way that Jesus loves you is to bleed and suffocate to death on the cross for you, there's no freeing you from the concern of your neighbor's physical well-being. When the one who commanded, "You shall not murder and you shall not steal," tells you to wash one another's feet. No wonder the Catechism says that the fifth commandment means you must not hurt or harm your neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. And the seventh means that you must not take your neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but to help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. Your neighbor has real physical bodily needs. He needs food on his table and a roof over his head. Your children need someone to change their diapers, to wipe their noses, to check their spelling homework. Your aging parents need careful daily attention, help with their medicines, rides to the doctor, and someone to change their bedding. Your family needs a breadwinner. Your country needs soldiers. Your food pantry needs volunteers. The marginalized need you to fight for them. Your Christian brothers around the world need not just your prayers, but also your money. Nowhere is there a lack of physical needs. And sometimes, maybe usually, it will cost you time, money, sweat, blood, maybe your life. Don't be more spiritual than God. Your real physical need is why he has wrapped himself in human flesh, descended to the posture of the lowest foot-washing servant. You're not just spiritually sick, you are physically dying. To keep the fifth, the seventh, all the commandments toward you, God became man, real God with real flesh. Because a spiritual God can neither die on the cross nor scrub between your toes, the Savior eschewed the spiritual to dwell in your physical domain. God became man, and he washed feet, he touched lepers, he stuck his fingers in the ears of deaf men, and he raised dead children, and he died on the cross. Repent of thinking that being his disciple is some spiritual estate. So he clarified, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Not a spiritual washing, but a real one. Peter and the other disciples' feet would get wet and then be dried by Jesus himself. A spiritual washing won't do. A bath of water and the Spirit in the pool of the font, where Jesus will physically take your sins and clothe you with his real physical incarnate fleshly righteousness. You will love as he loved, because his love will be yours. It will be you. In baptism, then, you are a new creation. You are Christ's and he is yours. It would be nice to spiritualize this washing and make it into some kind of symbolic act that you do for Jesus to show him exactly the level of your commitment. They will know you are Christian by how wet you get for Jesus. But then you have a Jesus who says that unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter his kingdom. And it would be nice to spiritualize the meal Jesus instituted after having washed his disciples' feet and catechized them for the rest of the evening. The earliest Christians were often lampooned as fools who practiced cannibalism because they confessed that in the Eucharist they were eating the real flesh and real blood of the crucified and risen Savior. They could have got out of all that simply by spiritualizing what Jesus meant. It would be nice to spiritualize the real presence of Jesus in this meal and say that when you eat bread, you commune in heaven with his real body. But then you have a Jesus who says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It would be nice to spiritualize forgiveness too and make it something you receive privately and personally from God when he warms the cold recesses of your heart, when you pray in secret in your room, or stroll through the beauty of his creation on a Sunday morning church skipping walk. But then you have a Jesus who, on the evening after he rose physically from the dead, appeared to 10 scared men and said to them, Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whoever sins you retain are retained. It would be nice to spiritualize the church or your vocation or good works or prayer or any of this, but then you have a Jesus who, on the evening before he is betrayed, arrested, beaten, and crucified, took off his outer garment, wrapped himself in a towel, and against the protests of his disciples, washed their feet, and then commanded them to do the same, to love the same, to serve the same, to sacrifice the same. And so you can't. You can't spiritualize Jesus. The Word became flesh to live, to love, to serve, to sacrifice, to die, to rise, to return, to resurrect you, all for you, who are not a spirit, but a person, not a soul, but a saint. In Jesus, this is what you get, a physical Savior for physical you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.